Hey everybody, welcome to Movie Crush. I got Noel on my left.
Da 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 da.
That means I'm also on Noel's left.
Yeah, well, yeah, you are. You are. It's true.
You just had to figure that out, didn't you?
I am a left-handed, and that was very easy for me to figure out because I just thought, which hand do I write with? And that was the one you were next to.
Are you a lefty?
I am a lefty.
Did not know that, Noel.
Southpaw.
I believe, isn't the rumor that, isn't the legend that lefties are more creative? Is that true?
I couldn't speak to that, Chuck. I only know myself.
Well, who is super creative.
Well, that's very
multi-talented.
Kind of you, Chuck. Well, Chuck.
Noel, you can do it all.
Come now.
You can play instruments. You can sing.
You know. All I do these days is karaoke and podcasting.
What's your karaoke jam?
Lately, I've been really liking Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Oh, you did that at our Christmas jam last year.
Yeah,
that was great.
I tend to do that as a go-to. I also like Ashes to Ashes by David Bowie.
Ashes to Ashes,
Funk to Funky. Yeah, that one. What else?
We know
Major Tom's a junkie.
That's so great.
It's great. Those are my two big ones these days. Yeah.
All right. That's good. I need to change mine up.
Take On Me by A-ha occasionally.
Can you do that?
I can hit that note. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. It's a little early right now, but.
You can hit the note? Oh, I think that is a cheat. Noel, is that the. There's dogs lined up outside the door all of a sudden.
As high as I can go. Sorry.
I think, well, though, when you're in the karaoke spirit on the stage and you got some drinks in you,
yeah,
you just squeeze those nuts.
You make it happen.
That voice goes
up. It happen.
I did karaoke at a friend's wedding in Philadelphia. My good friends Eddie and Allison years ago, and I remember I went to this bar in Philly and signed up. I think someone had done Under Pressure, which is my usual go-to because I do both parts, Freddie Mercury and David Bowie, and. I signed up for Foreigner's Cold as Ice without really thinking about it. And as I went up there, the karaoke master gave me the mic and said, "You better squeeze your nuts for this one." And I was like, "Oh, right. This song's super high."
Like just with like physically squeeze them? You gotta
just to sing high, you know. Uh-huh. You're as cold as ice.
That seems like a misnomer. Does that really make you
sing
higher?
No, of course not.
That's absurd.
It just makes you in pain. It's no good. Has your daughter ever racked you real good?
Like kicked me?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
I mean, not on purpose,
but
in baby days.
Sometimes she'll like flop.
Like the errant foot. Oh, yeah, flop in the wrong manner?
Exactly.
Yes. It's no good. No good. We're teaching Ruby all the correct words, though, you know, instead of like pee-pee and stuff. So she pounced on me the other day and kind of took my breath away, let's say, and she went, "Daddy, did I hurt your penis?"
She did not say that.
She did.
What?
And I said, "Yes, Ruby." I said, "You have to be careful around that area."
That's very true.
So we're trying to start her young with proper names, Noel.
I think that's smart.
Yeah, it's good. But hey, to each your own. If you want your kid to say pee-pee and no-no and nee-nee and na-na.
They'll keep saying that into adulthood and they'll look very foolish.
All right, so we're going to start off, Noel, with your favorite. Let's go ahead and get you angry right out of the gate with some Noel's Holes. Crowdsourced a dish.
Ooh, this segment really burns me up.
This is not a hole, but I just want to say that Emilio Alvarado said right off the bat, "I fucking love the Noel's Holes segments. Ha, ha, ha."
Does that mean he's being sarcastic?
Yeah, it's because of you. It's because you make them so fun.
Aw, thanks, Chuck. And thanks, Emilio.
All right. Again, I'm just going to go in order. Let me get my pen. You got a Sharpie over there or something, Noel?
Like what you want. There's a Christmas-themed mug of pens over here.
All right. And I'm just going to keep track with my yes column and my no column until we get to 20. And then we're going to see how you do. How'd you do the last time? I think you were over 50% both times.
I think I did quite well.
Yeah, last time you did
I think
well.
I did quite well.
Excuse me.
If I do say so myself.
We need to keep an overall record as well. All right, Jay Frazier says this one, Noel. Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah, that's the one with the dude from the, what was that great BBC comedy show? The Young Ones?
Yes, that's right.
He's in it.
Rick Mayall. I'm giving it to you.
Who's the gal in it? Isn't it Phoebe Cates?
The gal? I don't know. You know what? This is one of my
holes. She's a Phoebe Cates lookalike if she's not. She really does look like Phoebe Cates.
This is a chuck hole.
Hold on.
And Noel, you know what? Oh, I think it was Phoebe Cates. Because I'm now remembering the poster of Rick Mayall and as Fred and Phoebes. So
it is absolutely Phoebe Cates.
You know what, Noel? It's some, you know, we're going to do Chuck's holes, but you got to curate that list.
Oh, I'd love to.
So whenever you feel jumpy, just go ahead and get a list of 20 together, and we'll do that.
And drop dead. He was like her imaginary friend. I want to say.
I don't even know. I gave you credit though. You can just stop.
Okay, I'll stop. Let's move on.
Dave Croucher says the movie Trick or Treat.
That was a recent, like, horror kind of situation.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. Nope.
All right.
But I think the guy that did it went on to do some interesting stuff.
Okay. Dave Croucher says, I loved it because it was the first movie I saw that featured a lot of heavy metal music. Though in hindsight, it wasn't that metal. So, no, it wasn't recent.
Well, there's another one. This one, okay, I'm looking it up now. There's one from 86, which has a flaming jack-o'-lantern on the cover. So I'm assuming that's the metal-ish
I bet that's
one,
the one
he's talking about. And then there's another one that came out maybe a couple of years ago, and the guy that did that went on to do some other cool horror stuff.
All right. Adam Felchner says Moonstruck.
I have not seen that. That's with Cher, right? And Nicolas Cage?
Yep. So wait, I need to put you down for no for wait, how many no's is that?
That's two no's.
Two total?
Two no's and a yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I almost put you down for three. Moonstruck, he said it has opera. So does that mean he has seen it? It's got opera, Noel.
I've seen literally every piece of popular culture media involving opera.
Except Moonstruck.
Yes.
Why? Did your mom just was like, I'll watch opera movies all day
long? I'm clearly joking.
Oh, okay.
Just because I have some tangential connection to opera doesn't mean I magically have seen every
opera-related
thing.
I didn't read your smarmy assness.
I'm so sorry. Excuse me. I should have leaned into it a little harder.
Jim Harjo Jr., or Harho, I'm not sure if you pronounce that J or not.
Oh, the guy that did the Trick or Treat from 2007 did Krampus, which I enjoyed. Didn't you like Krampus? That was a fun holiday.
I didn't see Krampus.
It's a good.
It's a hole.
The holes are revealing themselves, Chuck.
I know. Oh, and they're so stinky. Jim Harjo Jr. says he gave us a list, but I'm just going to go with the first one on his list of sports movies. So get ready, Noel. Remember the Titans.
I don't think I've seen it all the way through.
All right.
I've seen some of the very rollicking, inspirational scenes.
Okay.
Like the locker room speech and stuff.
Sure. Keddy Bredemeyer says, he gave three. I'm going to say all three because I think you've seen them all. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End.
Yeah, I've seen the trilogy.
All right. Mm-hmm. The Cornetto trilogy. I didn't know it was called that.
I remember that now. I don't understand. What does that have to do with?
I have no idea.
Interesting.
Never heard that.
Yeah.
I like that guy, though. What's his name?
Edgar Wright, yeah.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
Also would be a wonderful guest on the show.
I've heard him on a couple of shows, and he is just a very generous, delightful interview.
Yeah.
He was actually on the REM podcast that I like so well.
Adam Scott.
Uh-huh. He was on there because he's a huge REM fan.
That's funny. It's funny. I was looking at Instagram again the other day because of the Busy Phillips coming on the show, and I was looking at her Instagram, and she had a selfie with Adam Scott. After they had voted, she was like, look who I ran into at my polling place. And it's funny to think about. That's like, again, the beauty of LA is if you live in Hollywood, you go to the vet, you go to the polling place, you go to the DMV, and you never know who you're going to see there. Did I ever tell you about my great idea for a TV show?
No.
I think it would have to be animated, but here's the concept. And I have already trademarked this. Not trademarked, but I've copywritten my pilot script, everyone, so you can't steal this.
Good.
Celebrity DMV.
I like it.
So in the Batcave, the original Batcave, tucked buried into the Hollywood hills below the Hollywood sign, is the Celebrity DMV, this very secret A or B list only place where the elite can go and get their driver's license renewed.
Nice.
And their tag plates and stuff. Because think about it. You go to the DMV in Hollywood, you think you're going to see Steven Spielberg standing in line getting his driver's license?
Do you think Steven Spielberg even has to drive?
But they all do. They all do. Love their little sports cars.
That's true. They do. That's a good point.
So I was like, why don't you ever see Tom Cruise getting his motorcycle license? And that spawned the idea. It's like Celebrity DMV. But then it's like a party down thing where everyone who works there is like an aspiring writer, an actor, mm-hmm. trying to like work it.
Yeah.
And then hijinks ensue every day. and stuff like that.
That is true, Chuck. That is the one thing you can't send an assistant to do for you.
I don't think so, right?
You got to go.
You got to go.
You got to be there.
Unless
you
got
to show up.
You got to show up.
Did I tell you I went to the Bat Cave in Bronson Caves when I was in L.A.?
Oh, well, I saw the pics.
Yeah, but that's where they shot that scene in Batman where the Batmobile is emerging from the
cave. That the idea is that is where this CDMV is.
Well, I didn't see shit.
There's a secret keypad that opens up a secret
it's
wall.
It's like in a panel.
Yeah, there isn't a real CDMV. No, I've made this up.
Oh, man. I was captivated.
I've created it.
I love it.
All right, so we've gotten 5. We need to do 15 more. So let's pick up the pace. Christopher Austin says The Truman Show.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh.
That's Miloš Forman?
That's a layup.
Did I make that up?
That wasn't Miloš Forman.
It wasn't?
No. All right, I'm putting that in the
note. Wait, come on. No, I know. Oh, see, I said too much. Who was that? It was somebody.
It was Peter Weir.
That's right. What did Miloš Forman do?
He's done a lot of movies.
I know that.
Rob Dennis says A Blazing Saddles.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes, of course I've seen Blazing Saddles.
Okay.
You know what? That movie is it's hard to watch now.
Yeah.
It's got some, you know, I know sure. That's the point. I know it's meant to make you squirm and have some problematic racial stuff in it.
Yeah.
But when you watch it today, I found myself not getting offended, but just a little.
Yeah. Co-written by Richard Pryor. DC Hoover says Untouchables.
Yeah, I've seen that. Mm.
All right.
About the bootlegging.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gangsters. Kristen Glenn Kister says Lord of the Rings trilogy. And she laughs because, of course, all you do is talk about that in Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's true. I have seen the entire trilogy. That is one of my claims to fame. I've seen all three Lord of the Rings movies.
You sat through all that shit?
Well, there's 4, actually, because one of them was split in 2.
Oh, God.
That was the one where it ended like 9 times.
Yeah.
The Return of the King. You didn't like him?
I don't know, man. It all sort of just runs together in my mind.
I don't know. They're fun.
Battle axes and arrows just flying around.
I like the ring wraiths. They're super creepy.
I don't even know what that is.
They're the big creepy dudes with the big swords on the black horses with like the kind of shroudy, shadowy, you know, cloaks.
Yeah.
They're like, they talk like this.
Are you a Game of Thrones guy?
I love Game of Thrones. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I watched the first. How many? What season are they on now?
5 is about to be out.
I think I watched the first 2, and then just sort of, I didn't lose interest because I enjoyed it, but I think I just sort of fell away from it.
I want to know why I thought Miloš Forman did The Truman Show. I'm looking at his IMDb, and
he did Amadeus.
He did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I know. Yeah. I know. It was a weird brain fart there.
Logan Corsault says The Holy Mountain.
I have seen The Holy Mountain.
My friend, Ryan, very good friend from L.A., who I saw reconnected with not too long ago, told me about that one night when we were hanging out doing things.
Uh-huh.
And he said, dude, you haven't seen Holy Mountain?
Yeah.
And he bought that shit on DVD and shipped it to me.
Uh-huh.
And I still haven't been able to find time. But it's on the list. Is it just amazing?
Well, it's Jodorowsky, who's this like weirdo, mavericky, I want to say Spanish director.
Okay.
And he is just all about the visuals and the kind of aesthetics and like the symbolism. So he did a movie called Santa Sangre, which is holy blood, I believe is what that translates to.
All right.
And he did one called El Topo, that's sort of a weirdo psychedelic Western. And then Holy Mountain is his like coup de grace, where it's just the most psychedelic shit you've ever seen. And it's all kind of got this religious symbolism.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't exactly have a story you can follow, but it's just like everything's kind of representative of other stuff, and it's sort of about like technology and the forward march of civilization and man and like progress and how that actually rapes the earth of its wonder and natural goodness and
so light
like
fare
that.
For a Sunday morning.
Yeah, but it's also like there's like a scene where the visual part of it you see copied in so much stuff in like music videos and popular culture and things. So it's very, very cool.
Was it cool. 70s? 60s?
Yes, 70s. I want to say early 70s.
Recommended?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's fucking weird.
I mean, it's sitting in my house.
That's my review. Holy Mountain.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Ryan, if you're listening, I'm going to watch it, buddy. I promise. And I want to see you guys soon. Becky Harris Trainer says, That Thing You Do.
You know, I don't think I have seen that.
All right. That's a no.
But I know a lot about it because the music was by the guys from the band Fountains of Wayne, who I used to be a big fan of. Schlesinger, I think is his name.
Oh, okay.
And they wrote all that kind of Beatles-esque music, which made sense. It was a good get for them.
Here's a layup for you from Heather Smith, Jurassic Park. I'm just reading them, everyone.
You really?
Hey.
You want to know if I've seen Jurassic Park?
I'm not even asking, Noel. Did you see me put yes before you even said a word?
Seen Jurassic Park. Seen all the Jurassic Parks. Even the really bad ones.
Debbie Frangaducus. Man, I just love names.
Names are great.
I feel so Noel Brown and Chuck Bryant. So
I know.
Dull.
I know. That's why you're always saying great name, because you're jealous of these people's amazing names.
Frangaducus?
Yeah. However you actually pronounce it.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm sorry. I know I get these wrong. I had a guy write into Stuff You Should Know yesterday that was like, he had a funny name or an unusual name. And he said, hey, guys, started listening a few months ago. I really like the show, but I feel like you should put more thought into pronouncing names. And it just really, like, it's the one thing. And I was like, dude, you got 10 years of bad name pronouncing to catch up on.
Seriously.
It's a part of the show.
It's a part of the show.
It's fabric of the show, everyone.
It really is.
But Debbie says Flight of the Navigator, Noel.
No.
Okay.
That's like a kid's Disney movie about space, right?
Yep.
Yep. Nope, haven't seen it.
Ben Masters. He's going old school on you, Noel, so I think you're going to get a zilch on this one. The Dawn Patrol.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Do you?
Nope. That's a chuckle. Jamie Hearn Irwin says The Green Mile.
There's a lot of movies called The Dawn Patrol. There's one from 70, there's one from 78, there's one from 94, and there's one from 2014.
Jeez, get original, everyone.
I don't know that they're even remakes. I think it's just kind of a name that got tossed around and not properly copywritten. I don't know.
Well, you can title the movie the same thing.
That's true, but like how would...
I'm going to make a movie called Gone with the Wind.
I think that's a great idea. What was this next one, Chuck?
Did I ever tell you that my dream band name would be The Whom?
The Whom is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the Beatles and spell it B-E-E-T-L-E-S.
That'd be good. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine having the balls to name yourself the Beatles and spell it like the insect?
I could imagine it. Yeah.
I think that their pun name is lost on a lot of people.
Oh, of course.
They were the original pun band name.
That's right.
You know?
Because it was like beat, like beating a drum.
So Jamie Hearn Irwin said the Green Mile, Noel.
Yeah. Yeah, with the big dude and the mouse. Yeah.
The big dude in the mouse,
and the
Michael Clark Duncan.
In the electric chair. Is that a spoiler?
Boy, Pollux had a great story about Michael Clark Duncan on the episode.
Oh, really?
Or did he make me cut that out? I can't remember now.
Uh-oh.
It was good.
Cool.
Yeah. If it's not in there, remind me to tell you, or the next time you talk to Pollock,
okay,
say, what's your Michael Clark Duncan story?
I will. I'm sure he would. He's very generous with his stories.
He is. He's got good ones.
He's a good guy.
Bauman Vowell. Or Bowman Vowell says The Campaign.
I don't think so.
Okay.
That does not ring a bell. This is like a political drama, political thriller.
Is it?
I don't know. I bet it is.
That wasn't the Will Ferrell movie? No. What was that? The Candidate?
It is The Campaign. It was with Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell. No, I haven't seen him.
Oh, dude, that movie's funny.
Is it funny?
Yeah. It is really funny. I'm a sucker for that one. Let me see. That is 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Four more.
It does look like it's Zach Galifianakis doing his kind of effete southern counterpart, which
yeah,
I love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chip.
I love that character.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, Baskets is so good. I still haven't seen the new season, but that's a good one. Stanton Thatcher says Children of Men.
Oh, yeah. It's classic. They teach that in film school.
Brian Amidi says My Favorite Year.
Nope.
All right, Noel, you got to see My Favorite Year.
Who's that by?
Peter O'Toole, starring Peter O'Toole. Great, great, great.
Cool.
I think he might have won an Academy Award for that. I think a couple of more here, Noel. We'll wrap it up. Elizabeth Kapuska, October Sky.
No, I've not seen it. I don't know what that is.
I think young Jake Gyllenhaal, if I'm not mistaken. All right. Noel, one more.
Oh, and Chris Cooper. Goodness.
One more. And the score is 10 to 9.
Oh, wow.
So you will either equalize.
Or I will fall below my 50% ratio that I require in order to feel good about myself.
See, I feel like I'm looking now, and it will be weighted. So I'm just going to pick the fifth thing down.
Okay.
Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Justin Michael says Heat.
Yeah. I watched that recently. I rewatched it. It's great.
All right, Noel.
Classic heist film.
Oh, actually, it wasn't to equalize because you had fewer no's. So final score, 11 yeses, 9 no's.
Yeah.
You prevail once again. And beat down the internet.
See, I'll tell you though, Chuck, this is actually fun because there are some stakes now. I like it.
What are the stakes?
Failure or success.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Noel. Good job. All right, everyone. I ask you another social studies segment.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
This one was interesting. I ask a lot about movies and actors and things like that. But this one was different in that I said, actual movie aside, what is one thing that has happened to you in a movie theater that you will never forget? Do you get the question?
I do, and I have one that springs right to mind.
Well, me too. Let's hear yours.
I just saw a really horrible drunk domestic abuse situation happen in a movie
Jesus,
theater once with a
really?
With a family.
Oh,
and
God.
The dad was like really drunk and the mom was like, you need to just leave. You need to get out of here. And he was just like being all drunk and abusive and it was terrible.
That's awful.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, that's just the one that it's not, I didn't say it was good. It just came.
No. These don't have to imagine a lot of these are bad. What movie was it?
It was Brave, that animated Pixar movie.
Oh,
and I was
God.
With my kid too.
Man.
So it was extra. Like we were both like, we left. It was just like, God, so terrible.
Mine was when I saw the Todd Solondz movie, Welcome to the Dollhouse. And I think I've told this story before on the show, but I saw it in New York at the Angelica many years ago when it came out. And there was that one scene where the character looks at the young girl and says something about that he was going to rape her, but he didn't even know what he was saying. And of course, this was a long time ago when this was made. You probably wouldn't even put that in a movie now, but he just said that, and I think what he really meant was like he wanted to kiss her or something. But it was a dude stormed out of the movie theater because it was played for laughs in the movie, and people were laughing. And he stormed out very upset and called us all very bad people for laughing and said, how could you laugh at this?
Really?
And this was 20 years ago.
That's crazy.
So he was ahead of the curve looking back.
That is intense.
But I've never been told off in a movie, like told off the whole crowd.
Yeah. I also really like your story about the witch where the girl goes, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's tied for first. all right. This should be interesting. I'm going to leave this one up too because I have a feeling these are pretty good. Justin Kimmler says, I went to see Pacific Rim right at the end when they're underwater about to have the movie climax. The characters on screen press the button and the theater lost power. Needless to say, everyone was extremely confused when the screen went black. Interesting. It's almost as if sounds like the button push seemed like it turned the movie off. That's pretty good. Sam Schild says, while watching Killing of a Sacred Deer, I haven't seen that. I've heard it's great. Have you seen that?
I have.
Is it good?
It is. It's very much in line with that dude who did The Lobster and
I didn't see The Lobster either.
Did you see Dogtooth?
No, man. I haven't seen any of them.
They're good.
Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable, borderline. It's very black comedy, the blackest possible comedy.
Right.
It's good.
Yeah. To where you're like, is this comedy?
Yeah. Sacred Deer even takes it a little further.
Yeah. So he says he was watching that. And an older fellow couldn't handle the suffering of children and let out many oofs and oh, Jesus, throughout the screening. As soon as the last frame went to black, he walked out in a huff saying, I can't believe this movie. All right. Mark Palumbo says, my parents took me to see Lion King when I was a kid. When Mufasa died, I started crying. It's the first time a movie affected me so much. Felt embarrassed. I remember looking around and everyone else was crying, including my dad. And it ended up being a very special moment for me.
That is pretty special.
I never saw it.
You haven't seen The Lion King?
No, dude. I was like in my 30s.
That doesn't matter, Chuck. You don't stop seeing Disney movies just because you turn 30.
Yeah, you do. There's a period there. See, you had kids when you were young. How old were you when you had your daughter?
24.
Yeah. There was no
But gap. I still never stopped seeing Disney movies, dude. I always see the latest Disney movie.
From 18 to 24?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I hung out with theater nerds.
I'm the ogre.
Yeah. What's wrong with you, man?
All right, let me see here. What's a good one? Brandon McDonald said, my husband and I went to see Juno after we've been trying for our first child for 6 months. We were sitting there watching the movie and thought she's pregnant like me, which was super weird since it was still too early to test that cycle. I took a test a few days later and I was actually pregnant. Probably just coincidence, but I have to wonder if some part of me knew. That is wonderful, Brandy. And I see in your little picture here, you have three beautiful children. That is a great story. Congratulations to you and your family. That can be very, very tough stuff. Trust me. Bex Bloomfield. Hey, Bex, our old buddy.
Is that like B-E-X?
B-E-X. Rebecca.
No way.
Bex Bloomfield.
I love that.
She's great. She's been around forever. I met her finally in New Zealand. She's from England, but she lives in New Zealand now.
Cool.
She's wonderful. So Beck says the Avengers, the UK spy film, not the Marvel movies, but the original Avengers with Uma Thurman. She said, I had food poisoning from the meal we ate before the movie and for a brief moment considered vomiting into my popcorn bucket, but instead made a run for the toilets across the huge multiplex and I didn't make it.
Oof.
Oh, Beck, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, I was about to say I never puked in public, but I have a very shameful college story that I won't talk about.
Well, but the thing with that is, like, if you know it's coming, you act like a cat that's dying and you crawl under the house and, you know, puke in your shame, you know? Like, yeah, you find a nice dumpster out of the
Get
view.
That hairball out. Alicia Dietz says, my now husband and I went to see Men in Black on our first date in high school as sweethearts, and we've been together ever since, married 20 years. So that's a good special movie or a special memory. I like that. Megan Nicole, just all she put was this comment has been censored due to inappropriate content. She didn't even put what it was. I like that, Megan. From Kansas. I like what you're throwing down there. Kelly Conklin says, saw the movie Fight Club with my then boyfriend, now husband. I kept seeing little blips or flashes in the corner of the screen. I thought I was hallucinating. After it was over, I asked if he was seeing them too, and he said no. I thought, well, this is it. I'm witnessing my own psychotic break, only to find out later that Fincher was putting subliminal images into the film. And I was very relieved to find that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of those, like penises, I think. A lot of them were penises snuck in there.
Yeah, he sure did. And he referenced that in the movie.
Oh, well, it's in the
book.
Because
that's what Brad Pitt did as a projectionist, right?
That's right. That's a movie that I have such fond memories of, but
so great.
I don't know that it holds up like I remember it.
I haven't seen it in a while. You know, they built that house on Paper Street.
Oh, really? For the movie?
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
I didn't know that.
Looks like a total house that exists in real life. All right, we're going to do one more here, and then we'll continue this in following weeks because I like it. Gemma Marie says, my little brother, 4 years old at the time, went missing toward the end of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in New Zealand. My parents were freaking out. I thought it was hilarious and kept telling my parents that the ants had eaten him.
Wait, he went missing?
He went missing. I guess he just snuck off in the dark in the movie theater.
But they found him, right?
Well, I trust. I mean, she's laughing about the story now. Unless she's
When you say went missing, though, that's got a lot of weight to it.
It does. You should follow up on that.
Seriously.
No, I assume they found him.
Is he okay?
I think he is.
All right.
All right, we're going to do a quick final segment, Noel, of Stream This. Movie came out last year, so it's nothing new. But I finally got around last night to watching It Comes at Night. Did you see that?
Yeah, I liked it.
So we won't do a full review here because I certainly don't want to give it away. But this is the movie with Joel Edgerton and Christopher Abbott and Riley Keough, Elvis Presley's granddaughter.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that was who that was?
Is that because she's related to Lisa Marie? No.
Yeah, that's his only daughter, so sure.
Okay, that's right, yeah.
And Carmen Ejogo and Kelvin Harrison Jr. round out the cast. Really great acting. And written and directed by Trey Edward Schultz, who I have not seen his first movie, but Krisha, have you seen that movie? K-R-I-S-H-A?
I heard it was good.
It's supposed to be off the charts great.
I think it was Casey Pegram said it was fantastic.
Yeah, I really, really want to see that. So he really made his name with that small film, very well regarded, and then moved on and made It Comes at Night, which I thought was a horror movie. And I don't think I would classify it as such. I classify it a little bit more of a psychological thriller. Maybe it dances around horror a little bit. Did you think it was a horror movie?
No.
It's a fine line.
I mean, it was more of a psychological thriller. It was one of those movies that I could see people getting pissed off about because of the advertising behind it. And
sure.
Then looking like there's a spooky ghost or a monster or something
like
that.
Yeah, some kind of...
It turns out the spooky ghost was us all along. The monster was in our hearts.
It is a very deep sort of examination of paranoia and what would you do to protect your family and how might that end? I really dug it. I thought it was good. And it didn't I imagine it frustrated a lot of people beyond the fact that it wasn't just crawling with zombies, but that it leaves a lot of loose ends. It does not wrap anything up. And at the end of the movie, there are like three or four major questions left unanswered. And for better or for worse, I like that. Not all the time. Sometimes I like a nice little bow on my movie, and that can be very satisfying. But sometimes I also like what Mr. Schultz did, where he just sort of threw it out there and was like, you know what? What do you think, audience? How do you interpret this? Who opened the door? You know, that's sort of one of the big questions. So it's left up to the audience to decide those things. I like that. How do you feel about it?
I like it too. And again, it's like, it's a lot of what you bring to it in terms of interpretation, but you can also interpret it very straightforwardly.
Sure.
You could interpret it like symbolically. There's a lot of different ways to look at it.
Yeah. And there were, you know, one of the reasons why it's open to interpretation are there are, I think, either four or five dream sequences. And the final one is the one where you're like, that could explain it. Or was it a dream? Or was that real? And you're sort of left wondering. And I like that. It's one of those movies that, you know, you sort of dive into the internet afterward to see what other people think and to see what movie reviewers say and what, you know, what is your interpretation of the ending. And that's great. If a movie will drive you online to do more research about it, then that's quite an accomplishment, I think. It really stayed with me. Great acting on a budget. Great production value, very smartly, efficiently done. The pacing is great. Great score. Taut psychological thriller. I loved it.
Same.
Yeah, good stuff. It Comes at Night, everyone. Check it out. I streamed it. Amazon Prime is where I streamed it. It was available there for, I was about to say no money, but included in the cost of your Amazon Prime subscription, I guess. It's easy to say, it's on Netflix, it's free. But you're paying for that service. So that is it for this week, everyone. Check out It Comes at Night. Log your movie theater memories on Facebook. Throw out some holes for Noel. Maybe Noel will get around to some chuck holes.
Yeah, man.
At some point.
I think I will.
I think that's it. You know what? This one's going to come out weeks later, but we should give a in memoriam shout out to the great, great Stan Lee.
We should.
Who passed in real time just a few days ago.
Yeah.
And a big bummer. Everyone saw it coming. I think he was mid-90s. It was bound to happen, but one of the great creators.
Speaking of which, have you seen that movie Mid-90s?
No, I want to.
I know. It looks supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Stan Lee. That is a bummer. What a thing to do to create single-handedly or at least have a hand in something that's so iconic and that's so multifaceted and like, you know,
this world
means so much to so many
universe.
People. Yeah.
So great. The MCU. We love the movies now. Like I've said before, I never really read those comics, but they meant so much to so many people. So hats off to you, Mr. Stan Lee.
Indeed.
Rest in peace.
See you next time, folks.